Hello, and welcome to another beautiful episode of the Tombstone Podcast, a podcast where we talk about video games, video game industry, and whatever else we want to talk about. My name is Devin.
And I'm Kevin.
My name is Dominic.
And I'm Zach.
And we are going to go right into the intro of what games have you been playing? What are you excited for? We'll start with Kevin.
Bruh, I got Return of the Obra Dinn.
I heard that was good.
It's pretty interesting. Like, it's the, you know, if you know the premise, it's this, like, sort of aftermath detective game where, you know, a ship disappears and then they find it and no one is on board alive. So you just kind of have to piece it together. You get this little mystical, magical clock that can have a limited replay of certain events. Basically, you can go to a body if you find it, look at it, and it'll, you know, it'll play out the, you know, any dialogue and audio from whatever, you know, scene of death that you're at, and then you will see a single image of what happened, and you have to kind of glean, okay, what happened here. And you have some pictures, you have some names, you have causes of death, and if someone killed them, then who did that, right? So it's this game of piecing together, you know, I have this face, I have this name, I know the person with this name killed this dude, but I have no idea what he looks like, or I know, you know, this dude is this face and this name, and he died like this, and it's like, okay, well then you have the whole fucking set. And it does a really good job because there are so many options of what could, like, of combinations of who killed who and also possibilities of death. So there was like, there's shit like electrocution, you know, there's like so many different options that you can't possibly guess. And on top of that, it does this neat little thing where it does like three, like you have to get three right in a row. And if you get three totally right, it's like, okay, those three are right. So you can't just totally guess on one guy. You'd have to guess completely right on three separate people, which is totally unreasonable. So it's really cleverly laid out, and I'm partway through it, which is unfortunate because it's been a little while since I've played it. So now if I go back, I just have to remember everything.
Yeah, it's that fateful crux of like you go back into a game that you like, but forget how to play it, and you're like, well, I'm fucked. Like I'm in the middle of Sekiro, and like, I loaded in, I looked around, and I just quit out. I was like, I can't.
I have no idea where I am or what I'm doing. Yeah, like, you just kind of lose that mental map of, you know, this connects to this and connects to this and connects to this. Like, in Sekiro, it's, you know, you maybe forgot the mechanics a little bit, and then, like, you might not remember how the world is laid out. In this game, it's pretty simple. The mechanics are simple, and the world is simple. It's just a ship. But, like, connecting all the threads of events, like, okay, this led into this. Okay, this guy couldn't have possibly died here because he's in this later event. And it's like, okay, you know, oh, this guy couldn't have done this because he wasn't there. And you just kind of have to, you have, like, a nice little notebook that has a lot of the information. But one thing I don't like about the notebook is that you can't go back in it and say, hey, you know, like, you can't replay the memory if you're, like, from the notebook. You just, basically, like, you'll have the memory, and it won't, I'm trying to explain it, because it's like, okay, so someone will get shot, right, and it'll just, like, you just, in the notebook, all it says is, this person died, tell me who they are and how they died. You don't get to see, oh, someone shot them, and more importantly, you can't see who shot them. You can't, like, look at them in their face and go, oh, that's that guy, I have his name, you know? So it's like, it's hard to connect the threads without just remembering shit.
So gotcha. I will say something about it, Kevin. Once you get to the end, like, you watch all the memories, you can then freely go back and rewatch any of
them. Yes, and but that's kind of annoying because I have to open the notebook and go, okay, where did this memory happen? Okay, now I have to go to that part of the ship. And, I mean, I guess slight spoilers? There's a point I mean, it tells you right at the beginning, but there's a point where you've replayed all the memories, and it's like, okay, you've played all the memories, get off the ship, and I'm going to give you information about this one chapter that you have no idea about. And it's like, you have to leave the boat and never come back. So if I leave the boat, I can't ever come back and play the memories. So I'm kind of stuck there where I'm like, I want to figure out as much details as I can while I can still replay the memories.
Yeah.
So there are like some little frustrations with that, but you know, it's a really interesting idea, and I kind of wanted to say fuck it and like leave the boat and roll the dice and hope that I can solve it from there. I don't know.
Isn't it made by the same person who made Papers, Please?
I don't know, but that sounds right.
Hmm. Sounds I think like it so. Could be possible.
Yeah, yeah. It's in the realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's go to Dominic. What you got for us?
So yeah, I've been playing Pokemon Sword. It was gifted to me, and I'm now on the Pokemon train. I've been hybridizing how I usually play Pokemon, which is like pick the characters that are either really cute or really powerful, and just go straight through. And also taking the time to say, oh, well, let me catch everything, and you know, try to fill up the decks as I can go and do it. But that and dude, Master Chief Collection, man. Like, holy crap. Bringing back...
Yeah, Master Chief Collection has been pretty great.
Bringing back, like, what, like, 2008, 2009 nostalgia? Like, that's an...
Yeah.
That's pretty next level.
Yeah, it's been really fun. I've been playing it with you as well. Let's go to Zach. Zach, what you got for us? What you been doing? Or what are you excited for?
I'm excited for the next Destiny season. It comes out next Tuesday, and so I've just been playing a bunch of Destiny and trying to finish up everything before the season ends.
That's always
fun. Missing exotics and random items.
Yeah, you've been playing like every day, just trying to get. Yep. I see you like talking every day, but like, oh yeah, you know, grinding this out today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I finally got my hands on Outer Worlds. I've been playing that. It's made by Obsidian. It's their first IP, and it reminds me a lot of KOTOR 2, of the both KOTOR games. Mm. In that you have two followers with you. You can do follower quests. There's the skills that you use. The skill checks that you need, the dialogue, it's all very reminiscent of KOTOR and how you need like a medicine skill check. And they also made Fallout New Vegas. So yeah, it's still the same style of game that they've made, and they're really good at making that game.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying it. I love the followers. I love the setting. I haven't really gotten too much into the lore. I'm still a little bit confused about some of the lore behind everything, but that's just because maybe I'm probably not reading as much of the lore as I should be reading. But it's really fun. It's really fun. I enjoy it. It's basically like a mix between KOTOR and Mass Effect, and it's just really good.
Which, being like a successor of KOTOR, has me very interested. Because I did dabble in Mass Effect for a good bit, and I loved it too. But I'm ready for those like more classical styles of Obsidian's gameplay put into an IP like that. Like I'm excited to see, because I haven't seen anything for Outer Worlds at all. So I'm ready to jump in pretty soon as well.
Yeah, and what they're pretty good at, or particularly good at, is a lot of people say world building. I think it's more specifically that they're good at creating groups of people who have unique, you know, relationships with each other, and unique individual people with unique relationships within each other. It's like, it feels like a living, breathing society.
Mm-hmm.
Their world building is kind of okay. It's not good. It's not really bad. It's okay. It serves the point. But most of what I see in them is like, you know, they do really good character interaction and faction interaction, and they also make really good, morally ambiguous sort of decisions. It's not like, oh, you know, you got your good decision, your bad decision. It's, you know, it's just you do something, which is why the karma system still being in Fallout New Vegas is kind of dumb, and the faction system they introduced was really, really far more interesting. So
yeah, because the karma wasn't, it didn't really affect anything.
Yeah, you were always
you.
Good because it's like fighting enemies made you good, unless you really wanted to be bad. You couldn't really do that. So it was kind of pointless.
Yeah,
I find that the strength of Outer Worlds is in two things. It's in your character interactions, but and your dialogue is really interesting and really verbose. It's refreshing coming from a game like Fallout 4, where your options of speaking to people are yes, but sarcastic, I'll talk to you later, and no, but I'll accept that quest later. And being able to kind of just to have a different option rather than that, and have skill checks, have your persuasion, your intimidation, your flirting, and then also the way that you can go about completing an objective is really interesting, because you can find a building that you need to break into, and then you can find a ladder that leads up to its roof, and then you might be able to get into a door on the balcony. You can find a way to go around back. You can hack into this door. You can talk to this person and get a key from them. You can steal from this person, go to this terminal, get a password. It's really interesting in that in any single quest that you get, there's probably like two or three ways that you can finish that quest. You can go and just run and gun and kill everybody. You can talk your way out. You can sneak your way through. It's just really refreshing to have interesting ways to do quest lines.
You're saying this is prevalent in Outer Worlds as well?
Yes. Oh, this is in Outer Worlds is what I'm talking about.
Good. Because that was the main thing for me. It's like there are only select few games that allow you to really have a lot of completion diversity and like completion options, and most of those are under Obsidian's little bag of goodies. You know what I mean? Like, some of the Fallouts did really, really well with that, but like KOTOR, I loved KOTOR's problem solving process. I loved Fallout's problem solving process, and I'm glad that they're bringing that into their newest iteration of games.
Yeah, we'll talk more about Outer Worlds in a future episode, probably. Let's move into, because I could talk a lot about that game and how much it reminds me of KOTOR.
Yeah.
Let's move into our actual topic for today. We have idle games that we're going to discuss, which a lot of people would describe as not really video games. And it's an interesting genre to me. I play a lot of, I have a few different idle games that I play. I have Trimps is a popular one. Kitten's Game is really popular. That's the one I've been playing a lot lately.
Mm.
And also Cookie Clicker is one I've played in the past. Adventure Capitalist. There's a few others that I'm not really thinking of right now. Hero Clickers, I think, is another one that I've also played.
Yeah.
There's Loading Screen Simulator. There's a lot of them. And the history of them and the way that they engage you in gameplay is interesting to me. So the history of clicker games comes from a game called Cow Clicker, which allowed you to click a cow once every 6 hours. And that was a game. And the whole point of the game was that it was a critique on the current Facebook game wave that was hitting, where you had Farmerville and Mafia Wars and whatever that required you to wait in order to play. You know, like you had to ask people for your resources in order to spend. And then you only had so many resources you could use per day, and then you had to, oh, come back in 8 hours, or come back tomorrow whenever your energy refills and you can do more stuff. So this guy who made Cookie Clicker was, not Cookie Clicker, Cow Clicker, was like, that's really stupid. I mean, like, here's Cow Clicker. Like, you get to click one time come back in 6 hours. And it was actually, it was a little bit successful. And then the first real idle game that came in was Cookie Clicker. And Cookie Clicker is, you just click on a cookie and you're able to buy buildings and buy buildings and upgrades that does the cookie clicking for you. And that's basically the whole point of it, is that you can have the game running off to the side and not necessarily have to do anything yourself, and the game will progress for you. That's the whole point of an idle game. But there's also different ways in these games and how they force your interaction at times, and at other times it's like, okay, there's not really much for you to do here, so go and do something else. There's incremental games, resource management games, there's civilization simulation games. There's a bunch of different styles. Kitten's Game is a little bit more of a civilization building game, in that you start off and you have to gather wood yourself, gather catnip yourself, start building huts, and then you'll get cats to go live in the huts, so then you can hire them to do jobs like being a miner, being a scientist, being a farmer, because your main thing is like science and workshop upgrades. So science, like you can get agriculture, farming, calendars, mints. You can start getting whatever kind of things you get, and then you get eventually to space things, which is where I'm at right now. I'm at the space age kind of, and it gets real slow. Is the whole point of an idle game, is that you're going to get so far into it, and your progress is going to grind to a halt. But usually, most of these games have an incentive to reset your progress, because they'll give you something to make your progress go faster this next gameplay. In Adventure Capitalist, you had things like, you had the angel investors, which each angel investor increased your production by like 2%, I think. Increase your money production by 2%. And it got to the point where, you know, I would have like trillions and trillions of angels and be able to buy all the upgrades, most of the upgrades, in like 5 minutes. So it's just like, it takes like 5 minutes for me to set up to where I was before, and then I let it run for like a day or two and then reset it again, and it'll take me like 5 minutes to get where I was before, and it'll, you know, same thing over and over and over again. I can't really explain why these games are so intriguing to me and why I play them. It's because, I guess the thing is that I can play it and not have to, I don't have to focus on the game. You never have to focus on these games. That's kind of the draw to them. It's like, if you're like, I can play these at work and just have a browser up, and like in between me doing whatever it is I do at work, I can go to this other browser for like a minute or two, have myself like a little bit of reprieve from work, take a little 5 minute break, play a game, and then like get myself set up to where, okay, let me get caught up for whatever resources I've gained, and then be able to just go right back over to work and not have to worry about actively playing this game. Right. I mean, I play Kitten's Game a lot of the time while we're doing this podcast. I'll just be, you know, buying buildings and getting upgrades and whatnot. That to me is the big draw for them.
Yeah, I think for me, it plays a big role into like space fillers, where it's like, if you don't know what to do, and you're like sitting in your house on a Sunday, and you're like, well, you know, dishes, like chores are taken care of, you know, I don't really feel like playing any games, or, you know, movies are kind of boring now, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go open the fridge and then close it again and then go sit back down. You know, it's a, to me, it's a good occupancy for when there's something. I don't know, just sort of like empty space in your time, in your schedule, I guess.
Yeah, it's a really good bedtime game, or like first thing in the morning, wake up and then like, you know, check on your idle game, because it's really good for mobile games. There's a lot of really good mobile idle games, clicker games, whatever game, resource management games, whatever you want to call them. A lot of really good ones. And that's what I play Kitten's Game on, is my phone. So it's, I'm laying in bed and like I'll be browsing Reddit and then just like go in like, you know, 10 minutes, go check on my kittens and then go back to Reddit. And then like another 30 minutes, I might watch a 30 minute video, then go back over to the Kitten's Game and like
check on your actual cats and then go back to the kittens.
No, you never check on your actual cats. You don't have to. That's the beauty of them.
They've already
they just
reached
kinda
automation.
Take care of themselves. Yeah.
They've already reached more automation. Of an idle game than idle games.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I just have to wake up. I just have to make sure I'm up on time to feed them, and then they don't bother me.
it's interesting because it's like it almost has like a Factorio factor, where like the whole point is to eventually reach automation for some like cookie clickers, and for example, like everything is exponential growth and like investing in materials that help you get more out of it, which is like the whole point of the investment. So like it's just consistently upgrading and unlocking and upgrading and unlocking until you reach a point where you cannot do anything else, and the only thing left to do is just like throw it all away, start over completely from scratch. And like the replay value of an idle game is like, to me, it's like, it's almost like the whole point of it is just so that like you will consistently just go back in, keep going and keep doing it again, reach automation again, and then just start over. And it's the nuance of it is that you're doing it as a means to fill previously empty space in your day-to-day activities. And I think that's really interesting because it's hard to say that there's like a downside to that. You know what I mean? It's not like it's...
Yeah. Almost none of these games have a game over scenario. So like there's no way to lose at all. Most of these, it's just... And there's usually no game end state either. It's always like you can always just... Because a lot of these get updated pretty regularly to where it's like, hey, you know, some people are getting to this, like to the last buildings, and they're kind of running out of stuff to do. So here you go. Here's just new buildings. So you have to build up longer and longer and longer to get to these new buildings.
Yeah.
So then it just adds more content by just putting another building that's like, you know, 10 times the cost of your second highest building. So it takes you a while to get to it. And that's just the beauty of it, is that it's really casual. There's strategy involved in how you spend your time playing, because a lot of these incentivize not playing the game. You know, playing a game by playing it less is like kind of where these games usually go. And it's just a really interesting model. And some of these have really interesting new game mechanics. Some of these have like Kitten's Game to me has a really interesting new game mechanic. You get Karma and Paragon. You get Karma for like Karma basically increases your happiness in your kittens, and also increases your storage. So you get Karma really slow. I think I have like maybe 50 Karma, so like my happiness is automatically up 50%, and then my buildings all store 50% more at the beginning. And then also you get Paragon. Paragon is, you get one Paragon for every kitten over 70 before you reset. So at 70 kittens, you get like, you start getting one Paragon. Well, at 71, you get one Paragon. So then like if you reset at like 300 kittens, you get 230 Paragon. Yeah. And each one of those each paragon increases your production by 1%, and then you can spend that paragon on other upgrades as well through the metaphysics science tree. Once you unlock metaphysics, you can unlock other challenges. You can unlock better upgrade. Like right now, I'm on a challenge run in which my kittens, only half of them work, and they eat and they take up more resources. So I had to get to like building an AI core in order to beat this challenge. And then after I beat the challenge, then my kittens will count for double paragon. So then like if I reset at like 150, you know, that gives me 160 paragon. Yeah. 'Cause you know, it would normally give me 80. And it's and challenge runs are fun. I just a lot of these games are just interesting in the way that you have to strategize how to play these. 'Cause a lot of times just clicking isn't necessarily the best strategy to go for. Right. Some of these, I know like Clicker Heroes, there's upgrades that you can get. Well, certain things that you can kind of specialize towards. Like you can specialize towards getting stuff that increases your click damage. 'Cause in that one, like you have to defeat monsters and you have DPS. So like you have your clicking damage and then all your heroes give you DPS as well. And you can kind of let it just kind of run on a certain level and it'll just kind of sit there and you'll just get money, 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 money. And then every boss you have, it's like a time trial. Every boss is a time trial where you have a certain amount of time that you have to kill them. So you need a certain amount of DPS. So if you're actively playing and you want to actively play, you might say, okay, I'm going to go more towards my DPS per click, get that up. Or if you're like, I'm tired of clicking, I want to focus on getting things that increase my DPS for my heroes. So you can just have the game running in the background. You don't have to actively play the game. But there is that option. It's like, do you want to have a more active play style or do you want to have a more passive play style? There's a lot of games where you can close the game out and it'll calculate how long you've been away from the game. Next time you open it up, it's like, hey, by the way, while you were away, you got all of these different resources and now you get to go spend them. Some games will have upgrades that allow you to increase that. Yeah. Increase how much stuff you get while you're away, to where your strategy is open the game, spend your resources, close the game, and then come back in a few hours. Kitten's game is interesting because you have caps on all of your resources that you can get. So you can only have a certain amount of titanium, iron, coal, whatever. So if you just let it sit there, you're only going to get so much. Like, I think right now, most of my stuff, like, I get the cap amount of stuff in, like, 2 hours. So if I let it sit for longer than 2 hours, I'm kind of wasting time, really, by not playing it. So I want to check it pretty often in order to spend my resources, in order to maximize how fast I progress through the game.
It's a really interesting concept because it's like, it almost feels like there people like the idea of like the idle game, it's something that, you know, kind of like you were saying, it's something that it's a game that you invest in and you actively participate in it by not participating in it. But at the same time, the only way that you can participate is by like loading back in and like checking on all your resources and, you know, spending things here and there and then just sort of stepping away again. It's exactly the process of like what these games are meant for, and it's exactly for like either passive play style where you reach a certain point where you're just practically automating everything and, you know, you still input a couple different things but you just leave it alone, or you see, like, how fast can you get to this part? How fast can you actively participate in a particular challenge that the game has for you? You know, where, like, for cookie clickers, it's like, well, you know, if you play for 20 minutes, then we'll give you, like, 3,000 cookies or some shit like that. Like, there are incentives for you to either be an active participant or a passive participant. And I like that these games give you that option, especially.
Yeah. I mean, I figure this would be a pretty short episode. That's kind of really my two cents on idle games and why I think they're so interesting. Mm-hmm. Trying to think of, like, there's anything else that I wanted to mention. I think a really interesting thing is when do you reset? That's usually, like, the big strategy is, like, when do I reset? Do I reset whenever, like, I'm at double of whatever I was, or do I reset at, like, you know, okay, like, I have 50% more than what I had last time? Because again, like I said, they usually give you something that makes your progress faster. So in the case of venture capitalists, is like, I would reset every time my angel investors doubled, just that way next time I double my money. Yeah. And then there's also times whenever you hit a milestone where, like, you finally are able to buy, like, this certain upgrade, which just, like, increases your production rate so much. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm getting a lot of angel investors, and I'll wait until I'm at, like, 3 or 4 times the amount, because it just depends on how fast you're upgrading and how fast you're progressing. And then it's a really interesting strategy.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I've always found that the best time to reset a game like that is after this ad break. So we'll do that. Ooh. Right.
I was about to, like, play off of, like, well, speaking of passive participation, passively participate in this next ad break. But all right, cool.
Okay. We'll be back.
And he's back.
All right. That was like 7-minute break.
gonna critique our boy on how long it took him to leak.
You should leave in all of that silence.
We've already hit 40 minutes now.
Next time, just take the microphone to the bathroom with you, and we'll just keep going.
Oh, you don't want that.
Get a long ass
Opie and Anthony? Well, welcome back. And I think Kevin had some things that he wants to say. Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, it became clear to me that in the first half, I just needed to let you fucking go, because you have this deep love of these games. I'm like, I just want to absorb that, because my eternal frustration is these games just 0% appeal to me at all. And I find it really, really interesting when someone, like, really any of you, likes these games, because it's, you know, I get it. From a psychological standpoint, it taps into this sort of human nature to, you know, see rising numbers and manage a thing and just sort of, you know, there's that little bit of strategy, like you said, which, you know, made it more interesting to me. But starting out, a lot of these games really didn't have strategic elements. Not really. It was just kind of, do I want to actively click, or do I want to passively just let it go? Like in Cookie Clicker. Now there's a bit more strategy, a bit more, like, numbers to watch and different resources and things. But I've always found that interesting, because it's basically the rawest form of, like, why people enjoy kind of your typical long-term MMO, where it's just get the gear to get better gear, to get better gear, to get more better gear. I've always found that it's that distilled into its rawest form. And it's for that reason that I don't like MMOs because it's, you know, doing the same thing for doing the same thing's sake. The main difference I see is that, you know, these clicker games don't, or these idle games don't really, like you said, they don't have an end. Whereas, you know, MMOs have an end game. It's like, okay, you've spent however many hours getting to the highest possible level, and now you can do all this in-game content. These games don't really have that, so it's just kind of endless. So I'm just even more lost in a void of, why am I here? What am I doing? You know? And I've often thought the design of an idle game is more, way, way, way more interesting than actually playing an idle game, because there's all these, like, you could almost express it mathematically and just be like, you know, make a chart for like cost to benefit and just kind of ride that exponential curve all the way up and just say like, all right, now it costs this to have this much benefit. Now it costs this to have this much benefit. And, you know, at the end of the day, my kind of perspective on it became, shit, man, like, I would rather design an idle game than to play one. Because I find that sort of tapping into psychology of numbers rising and, you know, being satisfying, I found that interesting, you know, philosophically. Sort of with that out of the way, it was interesting to me that you were saying resetting was really interesting. I don't know, like, can you explain to me why resetting is interesting?
Why resetting is interesting?
Yeah, because you did all this stuff to get this system, to get these numbers.
And then, you know, why is it interesting to reset?
Yeah, from a design perspective, I get why you reset. But from a player perspective, I have no idea why I would reset.
So you would reset because your progress is grinding to a halt, because it's becoming, taking so long in order to progress just a little bit. And by resetting, like I said, a lot of these games have an incentive to reset, in that, like in, like I said, with Ken's game, you get Paragon, in Cookie Clicker, you get like, Eternal Cookies or something like that. You get things that make your progress faster. So if it took me like 4 days to get to where I'm at right now and I reset, it might take me 1 day to get back to where I'm at, and then I can also progress much faster past that. So in 4 days time, I can be much farther along than if I were to just stay without resetting. That is usually the whole point of it, is that your progress slows down to a halt. Here's your currency, your resource that you have so much of that you can buy upgrades. Your production's going to be like 50% faster, 100% faster, whatever it's going to be. So you can get back to that point and continue progressing. It's usually a requirement to reset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And okay, so that's sort of by design. Okay, when I think of these games, it's always kind of like they could make it however they want. And so they purposefully, you know, they put that exponential curve in there. And the reason they do that is so that, you know, you kind of, that actually kind of is inherently addicting. That's kind of the Skinner box thing where, are y'all aware of the Skinner box?
Yeah,
I'm not.
But for people who are not.
Yeah, for people who are not, the idea is they had these little like cages with rats in them, and the rats would press a button and receive food. And there was one major distinction between the two groups. One was anytime they press a button, they'll get something every single time. And if they press the button in the other one, it would sometimes give them something. And I think in that experiment, it actually had like a, you know, it became less and less. Or maybe that was another research thing that I was remembering. But the idea of that Skinner box theory is that, you know, if you know something's going to come out every time, you're less interested in doing it. the rats in the one that sometimes had food come out, they were pressing the hell out of the button because they wanted to, you know, even rats, as simple as their brains are, they were like ready to like play the odds and roll the dice, you know? And it kind of comes back to that, like, you know, this is intentionally designed to be really addicting. And, you know, that also can be interpreted as engagement, where you just kind of want to keep coming back and all that. It's all very intentional. But, you know, to me, it's like we very intentionally made it very difficult to get any progress. So we put in this mechanic that you can go back to the beginning and have a lot of progress again. It just seems, I guess it's at least an interesting decision to make in that, like, when do I reset, like you said earlier. But to me, it's like, if the objective is to have, like, a engagement 100% of the time, why make it so hard to make progress? But okay, now you reset.
But that's the thing, is like I said earlier, that's not the objective. The objective isn't to have engagement all the time. The objective is just to have something that passes the time. Like I said, it's like you can be doing anything else and just have it running in the background, and you can take a break from that thing and just play it for 5 to 10 minutes and then go back to whatever you're doing. That's the whole point of these games, usually, is that you don't have to focus on them. You they're an afterthought. They're running in the background. They're doing whatever, and there's no urgency. There's no losing state. You can't lose these games. So it's just always there, always running, always watching.
I think I might just be a different species because the most interesting part of an idle game to me is making the decisions of, okay, am I going to get this or am I going to get this? What's going to benefit me the most? To actively pursue not having that is very strange to me.
It's a game that's played best when you play it the least, usually. How they're designed is, like, the best way to play them is to find the least amount of time to have to spend on it. So there's a few different ones that I usually go back to. Right now, like I've said, I'm playing Kitten's Game. There's no active clicking, so this isn't like a clicker game. This is like a civilization resource management game, in that you get things that give you resources that allow you to build other things, which allow you to get more resources, which allows you to make progress. And because you only have to click for like the first like 10 minutes, and that's like to gather cat or to gather wood, I think, is really all you need to do. And then you start getting farmers and you get woodcutters, and you no longer need to click anything besides, like, I take that back. The only mechanic in the game is to click, but it's like, am I buying things or am I building resources? And your building resources section is really, like, it's very minimal in this game. Most of the time, you're clicking to buy new buildings or to convert resources. And you have another game, Trimps. Trimps, you start off, you don't actually have to click. Like Cookie Clicker, you have to click, and every time you click, you get the resource. And this, you click. And so you have, like, wood, food, metal, and science, usually. I think those are, like, the four that you have. So you just click on the food one once, and you will start gathering that resource. And then you click on the wood one, and you start gathering that resource. You don't have to, like, actively sit there and click on it, click, 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 click. You just click once, and then you set your character to start gathering that resource. And you start capturing these animals called Trimps, and you can hire them as, again, woodcutters, miners, scientists. And you can also, what's interesting about Trimps is that you have them do battle. You have them fight. This is all, there's no actual, like, you really any kind of, like, 3D graphics or really any graphics. This is all in like tables and charts, and you have them fight on this map, and you can decide like, okay, well, I can have them auto fight, because you can only have half of your, so if you can have 10 trimps, you can have 5 of them working, and then the rest are breeding. And then you have auto fight, and you can just have them fight all these enemies, and in fighting enemies, you get upgrades, you get different research paths, you get different buildings that you can build. And then you eventually get to fighting blimps, which give you helium, and helium is the reset resource. So you gather a bunch of helium, and then you go through a portal, and you reset, and you're able to spend the helium on buying upgrades that make your trimps either do more attack damage, have more health, gather resources faster, blah, 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 blah. And that's the kind of core gameplay, is the fighting. Is you want to be able to make them stronger, so you have different equipment that you can craft. Like you can buy, so the shield starts off by only giving you health, but then you get a research that allows it to block damage. So then you kind of gauge like, okay, do I need to focus on getting as much wood as I can so I can have more shields, that way basically the enemies do no damage to me, or do I need to make sure I have enough metal to buy things that I can do more, so I can buy weapons and do more damage, or buy armor that gives me more health, so that way if they do hit me, I'm not just one shot, and then I basically just have to, so your progress is really slow if you just get one shot every single time.
So this game, is it, can you lose this game?
This game, no, you can't lose.
Okay,
this game.
So what happens when you get attacked?
So you just, whenever you go to fight, like all you do is just, it's just like two health bars come up, one's for your trimps, one's for the enemies, and they just go down. And then whenever your trimps die, they're just dead. So whenever you have them fight, you basically send them off to go fight, and then your trimps that are back home breeding are just making more trimps to basically replace those that you just sent out.
Okay, so you the never, worst case you is never, you lose some sort of utility.
Yeah, the worst case is that you lose a few trims.
Okay.
I mean, they're expendable.
Yeah, that's...
they're like lemmings.
That's wonderful. so, okay, that's at least a touch more interesting to me, but I, you know, because you can kind of screw yourself over, I guess. There's a bit of thought that goes into that, like, do I attack or do I not?
Another thing.
What's the like span of time between like how long do you play the game and how long do you put it down? Like just in general, is it like 5 minutes then like 3 hours off or something?
Yeah. So that one's it really depends. Because that one is on the browser and. Really kind of in the beginning with all these games, in the beginning you're a little bit more engaged in it because you're constantly buying new upgrades in order to get to your idle state. And then because just like Kitten's game, this one has a cap on your resources, and you have to buy a shed, a barn, or let's see, shed, barn, and a forge. Those are your three ones that you can buy to upgrade your caps on your resources. So your things that you're building will get more expensive, and you won't have enough resources to, like, it'll be more than your cap. And you need to, okay, well, it'll take me like 20 minutes to get enough to build another barn. And every time you get one of these, it doubles your resource cap. So it'll take me like 20 minutes to buy enough, to have enough wood to build another barn. So I'll go do something for 20 minutes, come back, build a barn, you know? So it tells you how long these things will take to get to have enough resources to build these things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A lot of these will a lot of these will tell you how long this stuff will take. So it's like, okay, yeah, you'll have enough in like 2 hours. Okay, I'll come back in 2 hours then. You know, it's idle.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know how much more to say. It's other than these games are built to not play them as much. Like if you are having to actively play them, you are playing them incorrectly.
Yeah, and that's somewhat of a paradox in my brain, but ignoring that, I think if I were to play an idle game, you know, it would have to be one where you're not initially in a fully idle state, and I would view the victory point as the point at which I'm pretty much totally idle. But then once I achieve that, I'd be like, all right, well, I'm not playing this anymore. Like I would almost have to make a goal for myself, because I think it was in our episode zero, actually, when it was like, why am I playing this game? Oh, I'm, you know, getting things to get more things to get more things. There's no, to what end am I doing this is always the question that I ask. And if I don't have an end, I just walk away.
Yeah. I mean, there is no end for this. It's, to me, it's the end is to see how much of this game is there. Because for Kitten's game, there's still a lot of space exploration stuff that I haven't even gotten to. There's still a lot of stuff that whenever I go and like, I'm like, oh, I need a, how do I get more of this? And then people are like, oh, you need to wait to get this thing that you've never heard of that you didn't even know was in the game. I was like, oh, well, shit, that tells me there's still a lot more content that I can build towards. And I don't know, that's interesting to me, is that there's always just more content usually to these games.
I think we'll just agree to disagree.
I think we'll just agree to disagree. Does anyone have anything they want to add about idle games?
It's for me, it's always been something that like I knew that I would be. It to me, it started out as like you're on a plane and everyone needs a fun new app to play while on the plane ride. And that's where it started for me. Just like, you know what, we have like 2 hours, like nothing's going on. We're on like a road trip or on a plane or whatever, like going on vacation. What are we going to do whenever we wake up at like 2 p.m? What is there to do? And it's like, oh, bust out cookie clickers. And we're like, oh, hell yeah. You know, it to me, it has almost like the Crossy Road effect or and then afterwards like the Flappy Bird effect. Like it started out to me as like the next fun, quick, rapid fire thing to do. But for idle games, it's the disconnect there is, or the difference there is that idle games are, it for me, it's the one, those are the ones that like stick afterwards, you know, like 2048 or whatever, like the game where you just like you mash shit together until you get the big number and then game over or you win. It's like this is designed to be rapid fire fun that you come back to after like a month and you're like, oh, okay, cool, like let's, you know, why not. That's always been the experience for me, and it's interesting to me because of all the different varieties of games. And that's why my thing is that like if you finish an idle game and you're like, all right, cool, fuck it, I'm out, like I'm done with this. I'm already done. I've already met my goal. Just try another one. just jump into another one and figure out its mechanics. And you know, because there's so many out there that have their own little quirks and their own little individualities to them. And I that's what I like.
There's a lot that have just different mechanics to them, and some of them are really complex. Some of them are really simple, and it's just, there's a lot to do in those. There's a lot of creativity because of how limiting these usually are, and they're usually just text based, minimal GUI, and just really creative mechanics that either impede your progress or make your progress faster. Yeah, I just think it's interesting.
All right.
Okay.
I definitely, and it's hard for me too, because like I'll jump on board and be like, oh hell yeah, and then like completely, like one, then I start playing one, and I'm like, okay, I understand now, and then move on, but yeah.
Well, speaking of moving on, I guess we're done with this episode, unless anyone has any last second things they want to add to this.
Nah.
All right.
I think we've pretty much covered it, this one.
All right. Well, Dominic, you want to tell them where they can find us?
Absolutely. So if you would like to reach out to us, which we absolutely encourage because we love your feedback, there have actually been... it's actually been kind of slightly growing. Like maybe like one or two other podcasting groups have reached out to us, and you know, we've all become good buddies and things like that, which I really appreciate. But also like the user base, you know, people are finally starting to review us on Apple Podcast and give us some pretty all right ratings, which I think I could speak for all of us to say that we're pretty proud of that. But if you're not sure where to do that, you can look us up on every podcasting station that is pretty much out there: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Breaker, Radio Public. Our main place where that is distributing all of our juicy content is Anchor. So you go to anchor.fm/tombstone-podcast. And if you want to go the extra mile, it's never expected, but we absolutely appreciate it. You can leave us a monetary donation on Anchor. And that's our same page, anchor.fm/tombstone-podcast/support. That would be dope as well. But for more updates on our channel, and whenever we're doing new episodes, or whenever we're doing live streaming, because we have some not to spoil anything, but we have some pretty delicious material that's coming out pretty soon. You can hit us up at on Twitter. It's @tombstone_pod. Instagram is @tombstone_podcast. And then we'll also be posting updates as to what our different streaming things are going to look like, and other distributors as they come. But that's about it.
All right. Again, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you go out and try some new idle games. They're interesting to me. If you find one that you like that I might like, please tweet at me or something at whatever you want to do. You can hit us up on our podcast Twitter, and I'll make sure to read it and try out your games. If you have any suggestions for things, future topics that we should talk about, let us know. Again, please leave us a review. That would be much appreciated. And we will see you next week. Goodbye, you beautiful people.
Bye. Bye, everybody.